those of you who have been here for any length of time already know that I am not one to jump directly to a particular passage of Scripture simply because it's Christmas or Easter. I love Christmas. I love Easter. I believe in what they mean for our community of fellowship. But God knew in September, and He will know next year where we were going to be when we got here. And we are going through the book of James, and He knew exactly where we would be on the Sunday before Christmas, and it was all right with Him, so it's all right with me. But I'm going to tell you straight up, was not expecting this. So I'm just going to start off by allowing you all to feel what I felt as I began to go over the six verses that we will be on today. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, moths have eaten your clothes, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Let's be clear. I am very much about what the Scriptures have to say to us. Okay? And for those of you who begin to dial into what these Scriptures are not, you're going to miss the point. Okay? If you make this morning all about money, you're going to miss it. If you dismiss the fact that this morning is about money and possessions and gaining, you're going to miss the point. If you point fingers at what we would call the uber wealthy, if you sit there and say to thyself, "Oh, how I wish Bill Gates could hear my pastor speak today," you're going to miss the point. Listen and listen closely. James is speaking to a group of Christians scattered all over the region who have been misplaced from their church home and are beginning to establish the life, love, and heart of Christianity around the world. It is these people who were literally exploded out of the nation of Israel and the church in Jerusalem to begin planting the churches and being the people and becoming the children of God in the community of Christ that would lead to us sitting here today. He is speaking unto them, all right? And in doing so, He is speaking to us. I want to start over, and I want to read through this, and I want us to work through this together. But listen, it's a matter of the heart. I'm going to say it again. It's a matter of the heart. I would like for you to join me in saying it. Ready? It's a matter of the heart. Do you understand? It's a matter of the heart. James has spoken to us about real religion, being loving on the widows and the orphans. James has spoken to us about real religion being not conforming to the pattern of the world in another book, but actually living out our obedience to Jesus Christ. And in the context of the first four chapters of loving your neighbor and taming your tongue and serving those who can't serve themselves and giving out of what you have and listening and obeying God, in that context, now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth is rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. And their corrosion, this is an interesting passage that we are going to look at more. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. Again, it's a reference to testifying, not on your behalf, but against who you are. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of God, of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence, fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter, and you have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Listen again. You have condemned and you have murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Now, at first inclination, what we want to do here is we want to say God is not speaking to blue-collar America. We are a church full of electricians, bank tellers, mechanics, woodworkers, people who work in the offices at McDonald's, pastors, teachers, construction workers, security people, retail workers, restaurant workers. We are a massively, right down the middle, but diverse church full of the, in general, same socioeconomic level. Okay? That's who we are. And at first breath, when you say, you rich oppressors, we are thinking about the 1%. We are thinking about the people who own corporations and who have 17 private jets and who fly across the country at their leisure, enjoying life for what they are. But I want you to listen, and I want you to listen closely. If you make, if your household income exceeds $34,000 a year, if your household income exceeds $34,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the world. You are in the top 1% of the world. 1%. It's a matter of the heart. And I needed you to have some perspective here so that none of us could say, well, God ain't talking to me. Yes, He is. And He's not asking you to make more or to make less. That's not at all what He's asking, okay? If you make more than $34,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of the world. Now, I got to wondering, man, why in the world would God have us set on this at Christmas time? And I want to show you a few more stats. Because when we say not us, we're fooling ourselves. Can anybody tell me what they think it costs to bring fresh water on average to one nation? Now, I know that some nations are tiny, all right, and other nations are huge. So I took an average. It's called desalination, and you have to build major factories. We can build wells, but if you want to build major factories and bring fresh water to an entire country, no, not just a city, a country, something like Libya, Ethiopia, the Sudan, if you want to bring fresh water to every person in that country, does anybody in the room have any idea what that would cost? Over $1 million. That answer is correct. It is over $1 million. $10 billion on average will bring fresh water to every person in a country. That's actually on the high end. Okay? I found countries, Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, 3-4 million. U.S. is like 14 million. Billion. But just pay attention. On average, to bring fresh water to an entire nation, taking it from the ocean, making it like it comes out of your tap, $10 billion. Anybody want to know what it would cost to completely eradicate homelessness in the United States? Huh? A little higher. $20 billion. Now that is $20 billion wipes out homelessness in the U.S. Wipes it out. It's gone. Now some of you are like, man, $20 billion, that's a lot. How about, ready? Let's go bigger. How about ending world hunger? Ending world hunger. Like, we pay this amount of money, and next month, everybody on the planet is eating. Okay? Not 30 million, but good guess. 30 billion. Listen to me. $30 billion wipes out world hunger for the next year. It's gone. Nobody on the planet goes hungry for the next year. So $10 million desalinates the water in a country so that everybody in that country has fresh water. $20 billion eradicates homelessness in the United States. $30 billion gets rid of world hunger in the world. Anybody have a guess as to what Americans will spend on Christmas, just Christmas this year, just Christmas? Traveling, lights, trees, presents, Christmas this year. Anybody? Huh? No, not per person. I'm talking about Americans in the country. America will spend how much money? Got a perspective? It's a matter of the heart. You want to calculate a fun one that we haven't done yet? How much does it cost to adopt a child? $20,000? What's $485 billion divided by $20,000? I bet we could wipe out the orphan population with one Christmas. This is not meant to make you feel bad. It's not meant to make you feel guilty. It's meant to give you a perspective that you and I do not have. We don't have, because we are the rich. We are the blessed. We are the ones who complain because our iPhone 6 is full. We complain because our 2007 Honda with a computer in it needs brakes, or isn't new enough, or doesn't have all-wheel drive. On a holiday. And I want you to hear what Jesus says. Your gold and silver, they are corroded, and their corruption testifies against you and eats your flesh. Here's what this means. Okay? What we do in our hearts is we say, hey, my dad, my brother, my uncle, they passed away. And look at the home they lived in. Look at the car they drive. Look at the way their children are dressed. Look at the education they provided for their child. Look at the nest egg they left their child. That's awesome. They lived a good life. Feasible, right? We can look at that and go, they lived a good life. But here's what the Bible, not Craig, here's what the Bible says. Your material possessions as you pass testify against you. What's that mean? Testify against you. Listen, here's what James is saying. If you've hoarded it up and stored it up, and my call on your life was to love the widows, love the orphans, feed the oppressed, make sure no child went hungry. When you have all of these things sitting in your garage, sitting on your acreage, at home when you die, they're testifying that what you did not do was give. That's what that means. It's a testimony that your life was lived gathering instead of sowing. No wonder Jesus chose to kick me in my teeth right around Christmas. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers. This is all about how we treat people. And how many stories about fights breaking out on Black Friday have you heard in the last few years? How many stories could Jamie or any of you who work the counter at any retail store, who work behind the bar or at the tables at any restaurant, can testify to how not well treated those who serve us are? Can anybody testify? Is there anybody in the room who would say, you know what, that's me? I go to a restaurant, and if I don't get the service I want, I don't give them anything. I go to a restaurant, they need Jesus, I'll give them a track. They didn't ring me up right. That's inconvenient because I've got another store to get to, and they're not working 12 hours on their feet all day long so that I can buy for my children. So I will treat them however I want because I'm the customer. Oh, hush. You're a Christian first. Act like it. That's what James is saying. If you're going to go out into the world and change the world, you cannot let it be about what you're gathering. It's got to be about what you're sowing. You cannot be about what you're gaining. It's got to be about what you're giving. And the church will not survive outside of these walls if we don't become the people everybody else wants to be, because we're such arrogant, words I'm not allowed to say because they'll go on a podcast and you all will hate me for it. We're awful and nobody wants what we have because what we have has changed us none. And until it does, nothing else matters. We will get so selfish that it becomes about the life and death of those that no longer have a voice. Now, I want to be very clear. I want to be very clear. I am not getting political. But this verse, in the context by itself, is not about abortion. Listen to me. This verse, in context by itself, has been used in our arguments against abortion, and it is not about abortion. However, in the context of the entire book of James, and in the context of the faith you speak with your lips and choose not to live with your lives, this is exactly about abortion. You choose out of your convenience for your own rights to take the innocent life that has not spoken out against you. The greatest argument for convenience, selfishness. You either believe what the Bible says is true or you do not. I harbor zero ill will for you either way. There are people in this room who I have eaten with, who I have hung out with, who I have gone to water parks with, who have never given their life to Jesus Christ, who I don't know in my heart if they would end up in heaven or hell tomorrow. And yes, that is a burden to me, but no, it will not keep me from having dinner with you tomorrow, from going to a water park with you tomorrow, and from preaching the gospel that I know ought to be preached. None of that's going to change how I feel about you, but it is Christ who must come in and change you. And if he's not changing us, church, how can we expect him to change the world? How can we get on Facebook? How can we get on social media? How can we get in our schools? How can we rail about our elections, both governor and presidential, if we're not living the life we're asking the world to live? This is all about giving and not about getting. This is all about the heart. Plain and simple, will you run over everyone and everything that opposes and that does not oppose you so that you might receive? Or will you exhaust yourself? Will you exhaust your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength to love with all that you have? If Christmas is the season of giving, then this is the best Christmas message I'll ever preach. Because all James really says is, check out your nest egg. Was there something more in line with Jesus that you could have used that for? Can't take it with you. Well, Craig, I'm just being prepared. I'm not asking you not to be prepared. Kids and I talked about that in youth ministry. I'm not telling you not to plan ahead. I am saying we're pretty stingy folks. We like our houses and we like our cars. We like our food and our drink. We like our lives the way we've been brought up to have them. Francis Chan used an interesting word that struck me. He was using it in the opposite context that you're going to take it when I say it. Christmas is a consumer holiday, right? It is a consumer holiday. We literally consume the products off the shelves. We consume the products off the walls. We suck them in. We gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Thank you, Keats. I don't know, Robin Williams said it in a movie. We consume. We are a consumer culture. Listen. God called us to be, but in a totally different way. How would our Christmas, how would our spending, how would our lives, how would our hearts, how would our families, how would our communities change if we were to change one letter from consumer to consumed, if we found ourselves totally consumed with love, hope, joy, passion, longing for Jesus and all that he stood for? How would everything around us change? We need to be, as the church, a consumer culture, consuming more of the all-consuming fire that is Jesus Christ and letting that run over. I would apologize, but y'all know better. This is not a message against anyone who makes money. Not even a little bit. Listen. That would be like saying shutting American Idol down is against all people who can sing. It's totally not true. I wish that the world and that the church worked like this, that all people actually gifted to sing sang all the time. Not the ones lined up who think they can sing. Not the ones lined up whose mommy told them they could sing and mommy was tone deaf. Not the ones who line up in their little 50-member churches and they were the best singer there and they grow up believing that they ought to be the next Celine Dion when it just ain't true. And to be honest with you, you've heard me say it before, I'm thankful for Simon Cowell in that. I'm glad if you can't sing, Simon Cowell says what? You can't sing. I wish the world let singers sing and was honest enough to say to a singer, you're not a singer, you're an artist. And we let artists draw. And we let preachers preach. And we let financial wizards with math handle it all. And we let people who have money give. I wish that in every way that everyone was blessed, they gave all.
Well, Craig, I'd be giving way more money than the rest.
That's all right. I'm changing a lot more lives with my mouth than the rest. You're changing a lot more lives with your song than the rest. We've got to look at it all the same. God blesses in various ways. If you know how to fish, fish and give the fish away. If you know how to dribble basketballs and learn to give it away. If you know how to teach, teach the world how to be better. Teach somebody how to desalinate water. Use your gifts and give it away. I wish it all worked like that. And I wish God blessed in that measure, but he does not. And don't think for a minute that he does. There are going to be immoral people who can sing. There are going to be non-moral people who can really play hoop. There are going to be people who are greedy, who get really wealthy. It is not our job to worry about that. It is our job to understand this one thing, that the God of the universe can change my heart, your heart, and the heart of anybody that the gospel is sown into. So our job is to keep on giving. Our love, our mercy, our money, our talents, our time, our tithe, our gifts, ourselves, freely. Because you can't take it with you. James is saying, you need to live differently. And when you do, the world will in fact become different. This holiday, I pray, consume. It's what you consume that I'm concerned about. Not that, but what? May you be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness of God, and may that make you blessed. Let's pray. God, this is the matter of my heart today. I just want to make a difference. I want not guilt, but sincere conviction about how I spend and where I spend and what I give and the impact that that can make around the world. And God, today, as we have an opportunity to give to our church family so that it makes an impact, and today, as we have an opportunity to give to a local mission project that will just randomly bless lives because we can, and next week, to overseas missions that will bless lives because we can, God, that the overflow in us occurs, that we become a people of giving. In whatever way you have chosen to bless us so that our cups run over, let us pour it out into everyone around us and everything we come in contact with. let us sow the gospel of hope into everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.